You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're talking about issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, what an eventful month this has been so far. Who ever said that February was boring? We had the Super Bowl, then we had Super Tuesday, and today, of course, Ash Wednesday, a day of prayer and fasting, entering into this time of Lent, of prayer and fasting. And what a great blessing. We have some wonderful guests with us on the program today, friends. We have Joyce Duriga, who is the editor-in-chief of the Catholic New World, and she'll be with us for the first half of the program to talk about the March for Life pilgrimage to Washington, D.C., that five buses of pilgrims from the Archdiocese attended, along with Joyce, and she put a tremendous spread in the Catholic New World about that. We'll be talking about that experience with her. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking with Monsignor Robert Dempsey, who was the editor-in-chief of L'Osservatore Romano. It's actually the day of editors of newspapers, I just realized. But anyway, we're going to be talking with him about the 40th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humanae Vitae and a major conference that is coming up on March 8th, celebrating this 40th anniversary of this major encyclical. And, you know, friends, first of all, I know that many of you were very kind to me. I went through some health difficulties, and many of you I know were praying for me and sent cards and flowers and had masses celebrated for me, and I just wanted to say how much I appreciate that, and I am on the mend and feel very grateful to be here, and I just want to thank you for your prayer. I did feel very much sustained in prayer, and your prayers meant so much to me. So I want to thank you all for that. And, you know, if you haven't decided what you're doing yet for Lent, you know, there's still time to decide. Hey, it's only 9:02 a.m. here on Ash Wednesday, so you've got a lot of time here. So, you know, going to daily Mass, praying the rosary each day, volunteering at a soup kitchen or a maternity home or a pregnancy center, there are all sorts of things that you can do for Lent, and I really encourage you to do that. So you know, make sure to make this Lent a real time of conversion and transformation for you and your families. And I'm here in the studio, and I got to tell you a funny story, first of all. And that is that, you know, the new editor of the Catholic New World comes to the Archdiocese, and so Alicia Torres, who is our producer behind the glass here, who does wonderful work with communications in our office and with college outreach, she and I thought, well, we want to impress this new editor. We want to make a good impression. So we go and we visit Joyce, okay? And we really want to impress her, make a good impression, you know. And then what ended up happening was, I don't know if, you know, I was particularly impressive, but she impressed me. So that was a great experience, you know, and it's just sort of funny how God works those things. But Joyce is here in the studio with me. She is the editor-in-chief of the Catholic New World, and she's had a long career in journalism, but she's still a young and attractive and vibrant young woman here, and she was the assistant editor at Our Sunday Visitor for a long time, for many years. She then worked in the communications office at the Diocese of Pittsburgh, where we have a mutual friend, mm-hmm. Bill Hill, and now Joyce is here with us in the studio today. So, Joyce, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk.
I'm glad to be here.
It's a blessing to have you here. You know, we've never had anybody from the Catholic New World actually come with us on the March for Life pilgrimage, never mind the top person. So we're so thrilled about that. Now, the pilgrimage was January 19th through 23rd, mm-hmm. and you went out by bus. There are five buses. Was this your first time at the March
for Life? It was. After covering things for all these years and arranging coverage, getting freelancers to go out for different things, and having friends. And when I was in Pittsburgh, we were nearby, and I just never got around to going, and I'd always wanted to go, so this was a great opportunity for me.
Oh, that's great. Tremendous. And the story that you put together was so moving. As I was telling you beforehand, when I opened up the Catholic New World and I saw this beautiful spread of photos, and it was so beautifully written. And you're quite a photographer, actually, as well as writer. But that was really beautiful. And I encourage people to pick up the Catholic New World to check out this great story that Joyce did on the March for Life.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. What was the experience what you expected at the March for Life?
No, because I did go down with the I went down with the college students and came back with the teens. And by what I mean was no, is in back east there's a lot of day trips down to the March for Life. So it's not necessarily the full fledged pilgrimage experience that we got here. So I knew it was gonna be a couple days, I knew we were gonna go through all these different events, but I didn't realized that it would be so Christ-centered. I mean, we prayed on the way down. There were priests on each bus. There were road prayers. Every day we had an opportunity for Mass and Sacrament of Reconciliation. And that, I thought that was really special and really unique to the Chicago pilgrimage.
Awesome. So it lived up to the pilgrimage reputation.
It did.
You thought it wasn't just a trip.
Yeah. I said something to Alicia about how impressed I was, and she said, well, why wouldn't we? Why are we going to come all the way from Chicago and not focus on Jesus? But just that you thought about it is, I think, special and grace-filled and unique.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. You know, many of our listeners may have a question or comment, so I encourage your phone calls. Don't hesitate. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. Maybe you're listening today as you're battling that weather and traffic, and you're thinking, hey, you know, I was on that pilgrimage. I want to call in and share my experience. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. Or if you have a question for Joyce, maybe about as somebody who has had a great career in journalism, about how the media covers the March for Life and those types of issues. The phone lines are open. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. Now, how did you feel? You know, we have 250 people, college students on one bus, which was sort of a separate pilgrimage, but still going with the group, and then four buses, mostly of teens. How did you feel the young people responded to the March for Life experience, to the pilgrimage experience?
They seemed to respond very well. I was impressed by how well-behaved everyone was, how patient everybody was, how, I mean, nobody had a meltdown that anybody could see anyway, you know, and pilgrimages are tough. I mean, you go into them with the idea that it's not going to be comfortable necessarily. You're going to have a lot of waiting. You're going to have a lot of, I mean, we waited at the Basilica for the Mass to start for several hours. I mean, everybody was so patient and joy-filled. And I mean, I'm sure we all got a little cranky at times. You're going to get cranky when you're not sleeping or if you're... But it was... they all seemed to respond well. And the conversations that I had with both the college students and the teens, and even the adults who were on the trip, I was surprised that there were some miscellaneous, for lack of a better term, laity on the mm-hmm. the trip that were invited by different... maybe by their pastors or mm-hmm. friends. But we had a lot of good conversations about chastity, conversations about how the pro-life message resonates with them, why it's, you know, the teens tended to talk more about how it's their generation that's being truly affected by the numbers of abortions, and it's their friends that are being killed, and it's their potential friends that are being killed, or that they could have been impacted by. And the college students, they seem to have more of it was fun to see the growth. It seems like a lot of them had gone to the March for Life when they were teens, and now it's maturing into more maybe proactive. One young woman had started a pro-life group on campus. So, you know, and she said that was born out of her experiences for the March of Life. So
that's great.
They all responded very well.
Cultivating mm-hmm. young leaders in the movement. That is great. We have to head to a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Joyce about the March for Life pilgrimage, and we welcome your questions and calls, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
you're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Seven Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago are honored as No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon Schools by the U.S. Department of Education. We'll visit those schools and find out what makes Catholic education so special. Francis Cardinal George discusses the power of prayer following a highly publicized infant heart transplant in Chicago. And Chancellor Jimmy Legault says the Archdiocesan financial picture is looking brighter.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
And we are back with Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, and I'm chatting today with Joyce DeRiga, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic New World. And we're talking about, friends, the March for Life experience, the pilgrimage that the Archdiocese went on. More than 250 pilgrims went to Washington, D.C. by bus, and Joyce was with them. She wrote a fantastic story on the pilgrimage in the Catholic New World with great photos. I really encourage you to pick up a copy of the Catholic New World. And if you don't know how to get it, actually, Joyce, that's a good question. How do people get the New World if they don't subscribe already?
Well, you can go online at catholicnewworld.com and you can order, you could subscribe, or you can request a copy, or you can call me. I'm at 312-655-7577 and we'll get you hooked up.
Great.
Please subscribe. You know, we work hard and we've got a really great and dedicated staff.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I you have so many great articles in there now, and it's just so substantive. Oh, my gosh, I just whacked the microphone. Sorry about that, friends. So anyway, we're having a lot of fun here, though, and we are talking about this wonderful pilgrimage, and we welcome your questions, comments, 312-751-1979. And this was a particularly important year because it was the 35th mm-hmm. anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which is hard to believe. What was your favorite experience of the pilgrimage? I know you were with the teens sometimes and the college students sometimes and kind of going between the groups. What memory stands out to you the most?
Truly, it was the vigil for life at the Basilica on the night before the march. I mean, I was totally blown away. There, I've been to World Youth Day. I've been on pilgrimages before, and this had that same kind of feeling. You know, the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, is huge. It's the second largest church in the country and one of the tenth largest in the world. And people packed in every spare inch of marble and anything in that place. They were sitting. It was incredible. On both floors, people were packed in, and they had started queuing up, I guess to say, is about 4 hours before the Mass started. And again, everybody was calm and everybody was attentive, and it was just filled. And then whenever the procession started. The procession lasted about a half an hour, and there were so many seminarians and priests and bishops and cardinals, and to see that, I think the seminarians, it looked like they outnumbered the priests, and to see that was just such a testament to vocations. And even in while we were all waiting for the Mass, there's lots of religious sisters and habits walking around and laughing and joking with the youth and the lay people that were there, and same thing with religious brothers and priests. And it was just, it was like our whole church together without any boundaries, without any reservations. And it was all, everybody was there with the common purpose to witness to the gospel of life and to pray to Jesus for his intercession. And it was just really powerful.
Yes, really powerful. That's great. You know, I unfortunately wasn't able to go, but of course I watched it on EWTN, and two things that I loved. One, of course, is that Cardinal George is always there, and that is so meaningful to have his, you know, a person of his international prominence every year witnessing to the gospel of life, you know, making that trip out to Washington, D.C., and he met with the Chicago Pilgrims, too, which I want to talk about a little bit. But and, of course, he always has a leadership role at that Mass, and also then the next morning at the MCI Center for the huge youth rally and Mass with the teens. And that is just so inspiring to me every year. And the second thing that I loved about the Mass this year was the homily of Cardinal Regali, who is the chair of the Bishop's Committee for Pro-Life Activities. And he talked about a new mosaic that was in the shrine and the various scenes that were depicted in Christ's life. And he talked about how each of us were like a piece of the mosaic, basically, in building the gospel of life. I mean, I thought that was, I was at home and I was sort of tearing up and stuff. But what did you think about that?
It was neat. Plus, I had good access for that homily in particular, because I use the media pass to get upstairs. I get a little antsy in crowds like that.
Great.
So the media were up in the choir, so we were sitting right underneath the mosaic.
Oh wow!
So whenever he was talking, we were a little bit closer to it. But
how beautiful!
Yeah, and it was very powerful, and it was great to be able to have something visual to meditate on while he was going through the bit.
Yes, absolutely. And friends, I think if you want to check out his homily, I think it's online if you go to usccb.org.
It's also on the Basilica's website, the National Shrines.
Okay, great. So just do a Google search on National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and that will probably take you to the Basilica website. But that was just beautiful. So Cardinal George always loves to chat with the teens and get to know them and all the young people. And he did a question and answer session. And how did that go, Joyce? You were there for that. And tell us a little bit about, you know, what is the Cardinal like when he's interacting with all of these teens? And they're asking him, were the questions difficult? And tell us about that.
No, I thought they were pretty good, actually. They were, one of the questions that he started off with, someone asked him, who do you most admire? Which I thought was really touching, because he talked about the religious sisters who live with them and take care of them in the cardinal's residence. And he talked about his sister and how his sister is taking care of some of her grandchildren now. And I think she's in her 70s or something, and how she's taken on this new role in her life, and how she's an inspiration to him. So it was neat to get that personal side.
Yes.
Someone asked him what is one of the hardest things to do in his job, and he said sometimes you get buried under paper and you don't get to be out with the people as much. So, and then there were questions about immigration, and one teen stood up and asked about how do you motivate young people to their people in their school to become more pro-life, and he kind of threw it back at him and said, you know what, you could tell me that because you're there and you know your peers and you know how to reach them the best. And then he went on to talk some more, but he's very candid and very open to that stuff, which is really great to see, and a great interaction with all of us.
You know, and he's got such a great sense of humor, you know. I remember last year, you know, in the previous pilgrimage, which I was able to attend, just, you know, how what a great sense of humor he has and everything. So, and my goodness, it's already time for another break. We haven't even gotten to the march yet, and it was such an unbelievable outpouring of people. I mean, If anybody saw it on EWTN, you just can't imagine the crowd. So I want to hear more about the excitement of the March for Life when we get back.
Okay.
And we welcome your questions, friends. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. We're heading into our last segment with Joyce, so don't hesitate. Call us right now. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Wake up to Youth 2000, February 29th through March 2nd at St. Benedict Parish in Chicago.
Youth 2000 leads young people to a personal encounter with the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ.
Youth 2000 inspires youth to live and give witness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information, visit the website missionchicago.net or call 773-588-6484.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Happy Ash Wednesday here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We hope that you're making this day a special day. Of course, we all have a little bit of extra penance with the weather today, but even more so than that. Come on, we can all go above and beyond in terms of prayer, fasting. Of course, today is an abstinence day of abstinence from meat as well. And we're talking with Joyce Duriga, friends, and we're talking about the March for Life pilgrimage to Washington, D.C., which happened January 19th. Through 23rd, Joyce was there with 250 pilgrims about from the Archdiocese. And Joyce, I want to, well, actually, we've got a call, so I want to go to that first. And friends, this is our last segment with Joyce, so give us a call if you want to chat with her, 312-751-1979. We have Tim from Chicago on the line. Tim, thanks so much for calling Life Talk.
Hi, Mary Louise. This is Tim Abercrombie.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. I'm
glad
good,
you're
thanks.
Doing better.
Oh, thank you so much.
I just wanted to ask what Joyce thought about the media coverage. You know, I heard a little soundbite, actually, of Alicia Torres that was on WGN Radio one day.
Oh, great.
I don't remember exactly what they played with them. And just what the experience was like of marching with the people.
Yeah, Joyce, tell us about that. Tim, great question. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The media, you mean the national media coverage?
Right, or just in general around the country.
I think it depends on where you are in the country and how active your pro-life community is. Okay. For example, in Pittsburgh, we always got coverage of, they would always cover the March for Life in
really?
Some capacity.
In the secular papers?
Usually, yeah. Whether
oh,
it was
in,
not necessarily front page stuff, but they would cover it because they knew there was a good portion of their readership that would go.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because Pittsburgh's like Chicago in that it's a historically Catholic town.
Right.
But I think in some places out west and things like that where there's not as many people that would go necessarily, there's not as much coverage of the March
okay.
for Life. Plus, you know, it's been going on for 35 years now, and it is in the media, the tough thing is you're covering news, you're covering new events, you're covering new kind of things, and unless there's some particular scandal involved or some new angle for that year, they may not cover it again because it's gone on again. So I know that's frustrating to a lot of people. And it's something that we run into, too, at the Catholic New World, is how do you cover that fundraising event? Although it's a very important fundraising event, you've covered it for the last 10 years. And, you know, so that's always a challenge for us. So I know that a lot of people are disappointed in the after coverage of the event. But
well, Tim, thanks so much for your question. And, you know, take care. Take care,
okay.
Tim. God bless.
Bye.
Thanks
you
for your
too.
Call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. And, Joyce, there was another thing that was interesting, which was, I think it was the Washington Post had a great article on the March for Life, which was like divine intervention miracle. I mean, that was like the feeding of the 5,000 to see that. I mean, that was amazing. And, you know, I think it was disappointing in Chicago. I don't think there was any coverage other than what you had, even though we have such an active pro-life community here. But so, Joyce, tell us about the march itself. About how many people, first of all, were there?
There were police estimates for about 250,000 people.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was, yeah.
Incredible.
We started on Constitution, obviously, down by the edge of the mall where they were doing the talks. And it was so neat. I mean, you couldn't see anything. You saw people from as far as the eye could see, you saw people. And then they came out with the March for Life banner that you see pictures of and stuff that starts the event. And they came right past us. And then we flowed in with everyone else. And
oh, great. So you guys had a good spot.
We did have good spots.
Because in previous years, we've sometimes gotten caught on the side and then we're way at the end or something. You know, it's like 4 o'clock. We haven't started marching. So that's awesome. Great.
It was really fun. It was, you get this sense of excitement building up to it. And then when you're actually, I actually got chills when you're actually walking and you're doing, I mean, this is what you're there for. And we had several days of build up to it. So you've got that several days of excitement building and coming, and then to actually be on the march, and you've got people chanting around you, and the signs are always very, very moving, because that's what you see in the media coverage. You see people holding the signs,
yes,
and the women deserve better signs, and the, you know,
yes,
all those kinds of things. So it was an amazing experience. And it was a very Catholic experience in a way, for at least I was noticing that, because you've got the banners from, you know, Saint Joseph Church in X city and St. Mary Church in Y city. Mm-hmm. And there's just such a big, big contingent of Catholic folks there and Catholic young people, which is very powerful. And I think for us as Catholics, it gives you a broader view of the church in the United States. It's not just you in Chicago,
yes,
that are
they're
praying for this. It's you and even the rally in the morning, the 22,000 plus people.
Oh,
at
my goodness,
the Verizon Center.
An amazing experience.
You know, for real. And they're all over the country people are coming from. And,
yes,
and so it's a powerful experience. I'd recommend it for anybody.
<That's> awesome. Yeah, if you want to go on the March for Life, let us know. You know, give us a call for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and start, we usually, I think, at the Forum Center around in November, but it is an experience of conversion. This was the first March for Life I've missed in many years, and I really missed it because it is so inspiring. I mean, you just go and you are renewed in your commitment, and it's just inspiring. What was the mood like at the march? I mean, were people, you know, how were people behaving, I guess, participating in the march?
We were a little cold. It wasn't too bad. I'd heard that the year before and other years it was really cold or you'd get really wet. And it had started to drizzle just a little bit, and I forgot to put my toe warmers in. So, you know, you get a little cold. But we had prayed the rosary beforehand while we were waiting for the march to start. And the mood seemed excited. It seemed, in our groups, it seemed something. It felt like a newness for, I talked to a couple people who had been there, this was their first time, and it was, for some, they believed in the pro-life message, but they weren't the types of folks who would go and maybe pray in front of an abortion clinic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new experience for them, and it was maybe a little uncomfortable, but it was definitely powerful, and then there was others who were chanting and leading us all along.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. I remember people are cheering, singing. It's yes. like, holy cow, what a joyful group, you know. You're freezing, but you're singing, you know. It's just terrific. Well, Joyce, and I didn't even realize we have the honor of being the first group to have you on the radio here in Chicago.
Thank you for asking
us. So welcome. And you've been at the Archdiocese for a few months
three months.
Right?
So, 3 months so last week. In 3 months in Chicago. So
well, welcome to Chicago, and welcome to the Archdiocese. And we're really blessed to have you here, and we can really see the Catholic New World is just it was great before, but now it's even better. I mean, you are taking it to the next level.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the great work, and I highly recommend it to all of our listeners. So Joyce Dariga, thanks for being with us on
the
show
today.
You're
welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's a blessing. And friends, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Monsignor Robert Dempsey about a controversial topic. Or is it? And that is the Humanae Vitae encyclical, 40th anniversary this year, big conference happening in Chicago on this. What does this encyclical say? What does it mean in your life? Stay with us. We're going to talk about all of that when we come right back here on Life Talk.
The Jewish and Catholic communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 13th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. at the Spertus Institute of Jewish Studies in Chicago. Dr. Eugene Fisher will offer reflections on Jewish-Catholic relations, past, present, and future. Dr. Fisher is a consultant to the Holy See's Commission for Religious Relations with the Jews and Associate Director Emeritus of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Secretariat for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. In addition, Cardinal Francis George will be in attendance. That date again is Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-751-5325 to reserve your place. We hope to see you there.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I have carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we are back, friends, with Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking about issues that make a difference in your life. And, friends, we've got a great guest lined up for this second half of the show on a controversial topic. I want a lot of phone calls on this, and I don't want you guys to hold back here. Our number, I'm already going to tell you because these phones are going to be ringing off the hook, so you'll want to get a jump on everybody. 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And our guest, friends, is Monsignor Robert Dempsey, a wonderful priest whom I admire a great deal. He was ordained a priest of the Archdiocese by Pope John Paul II himself in 1980. He is the pastor of St. Philip the Apostle Parish in Northfield. He serves on the Archdiocese's Bioethics Commission. He has a doctorate in moral theology. He was the editor. This is so interesting. He was the editor of the L'Osservatore Romano, which is the Vatican newspaper, for 10 years. Just must have been an incredible experience. And we are very blessed. He is the chairman of the Priests Advisory Board to the Respect Life Office. Monsignor Dempsey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Mary Louise. I enjoy very much.
Oh, well, what a blessing. And you know, what we're talking about today is the 40th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humanae Vitae. And many people may not be familiar with this. Could you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what that encyclical was about?
Well, the heart of the encyclical is about what we Christians believe God intends for marriage and for the marital act, the conjugal act. Pope Paul VI in his encyclical said very beautifully that this act really is created by God for two primary purposes or two significant two primary meanings to it. One is to foster and encourage, to express the love that a husband and wife have for each other and the committed permanent bond that they have to express that and to renew it and to deepen it. And also, he uses their love and their commitment to each other to bring new human life into the world. And that when the husband and wife live the sexual act in that way, seeing it as affirming and deepening their love for each other and as a way to bring new human life into the world, and they respect those meanings and purposes of the act, it is a very, very beautiful and very holy thing.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's so interesting because just in my own faith journey as a Catholic, I remember, here I was in Pittsburgh, I was in graduate school, I was speaking to teens about chastity. I don't want to tell you how long ago this was, but not that long ago.
Couldn't have been too long ago.
But what was remarkable was that, even at that time, here I am, a young adult Catholic committed to my faith, and I did not accept at that time in my life the church's teachings on contraception. And I thought, that's crazy. Here I am. I'm waiting to get married. I'm saving myself for marriage. I'm living out chastity. And I can't imagine that then, I wouldn't be able to contracept within marriage. And the Lord really took me on kind of a journey of love. I mean, heck, I wasn't even pro-life when I was in high school. So you can imagine what a conversion experience I had.
Well, you've come a long way.
Exactly. That's right. I've become much more enlightened, but really to find the wisdom of the church's teaching, and I feel so grateful because for me as a married woman, it is such a blessing that the church stayed true to, what is authentic. And, with this teaching on contraception, there was tremendous pressure for the church to change and to bow to the mediocrity, really, of society, which may be a little bit of a harsh term, but in a sense, it's true. And I find that natural family planning is such a great blessing in our marriage, for Brian and me. And, just there's so much, the encyclical talks about how it brings tranquility and peace within the marriage and great respect, between the husband and wife. And that has been so true in our marriage. So this has been a great blessing for us.
Well, my own faith and belief in the wisdom of the church's teaching has been confirmed over and over again as a priest by the couples, both in my own family and the many couples that I've known who actually live it. They're a wonderful witness and testimony to the fact that when it's lived in a spirit of faith and real love, it is the most beautiful way a marriage can be expressed and be lived. For priests, it's always very, very reassuring and reaffirming when we see married couples who are so happy when they live the church's teaching and the success and that they have in their marital life.
Yes, absolutely. And we're talking with Monsignor Robert Dempsey, who is the editor of the L'Osservatore Romano for 10 years. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago with a doctorate in moral theology, and we're discussing Humanae Vitae. And this is the 40th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, very significant. And it seemed like it was a prophetic encyclical because there are many consequences that Pope Paul VI talked about that would occur as a result of the use of artificial contraception, and we have seen those today in society. What are some of those consequences that he discussed?
Well, first and foremost is the prevalence of abortion, mm-hmm. which is, there were at the time in the 1960s many devout Catholics who were convinced that abortion was wrong, but had trouble seeing that in some cases maybe using contraceptives wasn't such a bad idea. But the Pope saw very, very clearly that once you adopt a mentality in which it's okay, you think it's okay morally to suppress or thwart the procreative purpose of the sexual act, you open the way to all kinds of other moral problems. The principle of which is this: using contraceptive involves a certain mentality. You begin to see the baby as an unwanted side effect of intercourse.
Right.
And once that mentality gets rooted, that somehow I use the pill because I don't want to have children, but I do want to have intercourse, and then when, unfortunately, the contraceptive fails, here I've got this baby I didn't want. A human person then becomes an undesirable side effect of my action.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I want to do whatever I need to do to correct the contraceptive failure. And, of course, the only way you can correct contraceptive failure is through one form of abortion or another. So that is the first casualty.
Yes.
Once you begin to look at the sexual act as not being ordained by its very nature to bringing about new human life, the new human life is really something I want to avoid when I engage in sex.
Mm-hmm.
And we start looking upon the child as an undesirable side effect or something that we really want to avoid.
Yes, and
that paves the way to procedures that will get rid of that child if I haven't been able to prevent the child from being conceived.
Right, and that's why, you know, it's such a sham. Some of the, you know, we hear so much in the media and even from politicians, oh, I want to prevent abortion through contraception. Hello, and statistics show, this is what's so crazy, that more than half of unplanned pregnancies in this country are conceived while the couple is contracepting, actually using condom or pill or whatever, and that then there is a propensity, as you said, Monsignor Dempsey, for abortion. So it doesn't reduce abortion, and there is so much hard data on that shows that. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You know, despite all the rhetoric about preserving the mother's life and incest and all that, that accounts for such a minuscule fraction of all abortions.
Right. The 1/10 of 1%
of abortions are just another form of contraception.
Right. Well, we are going to head to a break here, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Monsignor Dempsey. We welcome your questions and phone calls. Hey, maybe we're saying something that really makes you mad. We want to hear from you in particular, or maybe you have a beautiful testimony also as to, you know, living out this chastity and marriage with natural family planning. Maybe you're a young adult. You want to know, hey, I'm single. How does this relate to my life? Give us a call. 312-751-1979. 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Home runs, fans, and fireworks, all signs that baseball is just around the corner. Get into the spirit early by attending Champions of Faith, a father-son event sponsored by the Office for Evangelization.
One of the most colorful Major League Baseball managers of all time, Jack McKeon, will tell his compelling story of faith.
And there will be a viewing of the Champions of Faith video that highlights top athletes who relate baseball to their everyday lives as Catholics. The date is Saturday, February 23rd, starting at 9 a.m. Place Holy Trinity High School in Chicago. Reserve a spot now by calling 312-751-3855 or go to our website at www.artschicago.org. All ages are invited to this inspirational and fun event, especially 6th grade through high school boys and their dads. Now play ball!
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
We are back with Life Talk, friends. I'm Mary Louise Curry chatting with Monsignor Robert Dempsey about the 40th anniversary of a major papal encyclical, Humanae Vitae. And we're talking about what does that mean in our lives and what have the effects been of Humanae Vitae and also the rejection of Humanae Vitae. And Monsignor Dempsey, one of the things I want to actually talk about is women, because when we see today, I think many people originally thought that the church's rejection of artificial contraception was an affront to women. And what I'm interested in is talking about how there's been such a response among women to embracing the encyclical and saying, hey, you know what? NFP is effective and it's better for our health. It's much more respectful of our bodies. And we see all these women coming out, professors, even just young women, teens, college students, who are saying, hey, this is the way to go. Sex in the City is empty. That is objectifying me as a woman. And this, the church has a much better way. I mean, what have you seen with that?
Well, I think much of the proof is in the fact that a couple that uses natural family planning frequently, almost always, has a much deeper and closer bond between husband and wife. And the reason is because it really forces the man to respect the natural fertility of his wife, the natural rhythms of her body, the changes that take place on a periodic basis within his wife, and also to not only to be sensitive to that and to respect it, also to exercise some self-restraint and control on his part, so
right.
that his actions are guided not only by impulse or instinct or the lust of the moment, but out of a real concern for where his wife is at that moment and what her needs and her desires might be.
Mm-hmm.
So it forces communication. It encourages sensitivity, and it also encourages a measure of self-control, which is essential to any form of human love. Human love is ultimately an act of will. It's an act of self-giving. It's a decision we make. It's not just an impulse or a feeling.
Absolutely. Maybe some of our listeners have a question or comment. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. One of the things that I think is so interesting, too, is that a lot of the foremost speakers today on Humanae Vitae are women, like Dr. Janet Smith is very outspoken on this, even women like Katrina Zeno. I mean, we're seeing a whole movement of women saying, hey, our bodies are a sacred space, and the use of contraception objectifies our bodies, which actually, it's so interesting. That was another one of the consequences that Pope Paul VI talked about in the encyclical, was that, with the use of artificial birth control, men will lose respect for women. Women will be objectified, that now, men will feel they can use women for sex whenever they want without any consequences, basically. And we've seen that in our world today. And some women really try to say, hey, you know what? No, I'm empowered, and try to embrace that Sex in the City kind of, lifestyle, only to find, 5 years later, man, I feel so used and so empty, and, leaving that behind.
Yeah, and it's ironic, too, because much of the early birth control propaganda was that this would empower women and, mm-hmm. and free them, et cetera. And as you say, so many women do feel after a while that they're just being used as an object for the man's desire, just nothing more than an object for his own emotional and release.
Right.
And,
right.
Whereas this, being in touch with her own fertility gives her a deeper insight into herself. And, of course, then that she can say yes or no to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, it is very empowering. It's also very much more helpful because, injecting into yourself, artificial hormones on a regular basis, it takes its toll on the body.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen that, this connection now that they're finding between the pill and breast cancer, especially for women 25 and under. I mean, there's all sorts of studies on that, so It is amazing to see. You know, this reminds me, too. I was on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher back in my Miss Wisconsin and post-Miss Wisconsin days. And one of the people on the show, Monsignor Dempsey, who is with me was Carl Gerasi one time. He was the so-called father of the birth control pill. And he, there were three men on the show and two women, myself and Caroline Ray, who's like a comedian actress type. And she and I were both complaining about how awful the pill was. And the guys were the ones who loved the pill, you know? Highlights, you know, who is really benefiting.
It's a lot easier for the guy than a condom is, you know? And it's somebody else's responsibility. That's, you know, did you take your pill today? And have you been taking it? You know, and who's, if the wife, the woman forgets or something, and something happens that didn't want to happen, who gets all the blame?
You know? Right,
it's,
right.
Where it takes two, but you wouldn't think of that the way some people act.
Exactly.
Like it's all the woman's fault because she didn't take her pill.
That's right. Yeah, Monsignor Dempsey, I love it here. You're. This is the new feminism they're talking about, right? The John Paul II, you know, Mulieris Dignitatem, you know, the real role of women and our dignity. And that's awesome. We've got to head to a break, actually. When we come back, though, we've got some calls, and we encourage your calls. We only have one segment left to talk about this issue with Monsignor Robert Dempsey. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. We'll be right back. We're talking about Humanae Vitae. It's the 40th anniversary. What does this mean for us in our lives? Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
This August, pilgrims from Chicago will travel to Lourdes, France, to mark the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Bernadette. The group will be led by Cardinal Francis George.
It's a place of hope, it really is. But it's all oriented towards the sick. If you're sick, you are the king of that place. Everybody's there who's in good health merely to serve the sick. And that's what the Blessed Mother is about. She appeared to a very poor girl, and she said, here's a place of healing. And that's what it's been ever since.
Join the pilgrimage to Lourdes. Call 312-751-2010. That's 312-751-2010. Call now and be part of this unforgettable spiritual journey.
Storyteller Susan O'Halloran talks about racism.
We have to understand is that these biases and prejudices we all have, prejudice is an equal opportunity offender, we all have, that it goes by in a nanosecond.
Cardinal George discusses racism in his pastoral letter, Dwell in My Love. Now hear Susan O'Halloran's compelling stories illustrating how racism affects all of us.
None of us escape not having some misconceptions of other people, and it is sad and it is disturbing. Most people I talk to are upset that they have those biases.
Susan is doing a series of talks throughout the Archdiocese. For more information, call Sister Lois at 708-442-3414 or go to www.dwellinmylove.org for dates and locations.
Without that diversity of opinion and thought, and that can be people being the same color but coming at things from differences, we need to value that as opposed to be threatened by it.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry talking with Monsignor Robert Dempsey about the 40th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. And we've got some calls on the line, and we encourage your calls, 312-751-1979. And Monsignor Dempsey, you know, I've been meaning to mention the entire show a couple of things. One is that there's a major conference coming up in Chicago. Actually, it's going to be in Skokie on the 40th anniversary of Humanae Vitae with noted speaker Peter Kreft from Boston College. He's a professor of philosophy, internationally known, a great speaker. Cardinal George will also be speaking at the conference, and it's going to be a terrific day. I notice that you are going to be attending.
I am, yes. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard Professor Kreft before. He's a very fine speaker, and on philosophical and moral topics, you can't beat him. He's really excellent.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific. Well, we're looking forward to having you there. And, friends, that is March 8th. It's going to be at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie in their parish hall. It's a huge event, so join us for that. If you're interested in more information, call us at 312-751-5355, 312-751-5355. And I want to go to the phones right away. We have Kristen on the line. Kristen, thanks so much for calling Life Talk today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great.
I'm very interested in your topic.
Oh, terrific. Terrific. Thank you. And do you have a question or a comment for Monsignor Dempsey?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to ask him a question. I know that, I think that Mulieris Stigmatatum was a revelation to me. I mean, and I really like reading things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the women I talk to, they're really scared. I mean, they kind of get the idea, and it kind of makes sense to them, but then they start looking at how do you, I was like, man, if I tell my husband I want to do change things, I want to, how do I, I don't know if you could maybe talk a little about that fear factor and how, because that's the one that I seem to get where, people, that's fine as far as it goes, but then you start talking about actually doing it and they go, whoa!
Oh, great question. Thank you, Kristen. Monsignor Dempsey, how do we make that change in our marriages?
Well, first of all, we have to do is pray. And I don't say that just to sound pious, but because I truly believe as a Catholic that all conversion of heart is the work of divine grace. I mean, that's one of our fundamental teachings, that any movement towards God, towards the good or the true that has salutary effect is a result of God's grace. So we have to pray, because we're really talking about conversion of heart, opening ourselves to a truth that we hadn't seen before, or perhaps having the courage to embrace and live a truth that we haven't been mm-hmm. willing to do so. So the first thing that I would urge is that you pray for your husband, and pray to our Blessed Mother, and above all, pray to St. Joseph, who was a wonderful father himself. And particularly
yes.
during this time of Lent, to do some personal penance for the person that you're praying for. And then you look for opportunities to broach the subject as gently and you don't come on full force with everything all at once, but you look for an opening
mm-hmm.
to talk about how you'd like to get closer to him, how you'd like to grow in your marriage, and how you think you know how he'll be a better man because of this, and so on.
Mm, yeah, that's a great idea. And, one of the things, too, when I was dating Brian, who's now my husband, I didn't know how he felt about this, and I thought, oh, man, is he going to think I'm strange or what? And I remember just one day saying to him, I believe, that the church has such good ideas about family planning, and I suggested that we go to an NFP class, actually. And so then when we got engaged, and he was, actually kind of, I think, surprised and very, actually very happy, I think, to hear that. And when we went to an NFP class, he really was on board then. And actually, I want to put out a couple resources. I encourage people to go to a few websites. One website in particular, which is www.fertilitycare.org, and that is to learn the Creighton model of natural family planning, which I think is fantastic, especially for women who have fertility issues like irregular cycles and things like that. You can also call the Archdiocese and ask for the Natural Family Planning Office, the general number. I don't have that number here, but it's 312-751-8200, and find out how to get into an NFP class. They have them all the time. It's informational, and you just learn so much as a woman about your body, and as a husband, you learn about her emotions and her cycles, and it just makes marriage so much richer. So, Monsignor Dempsey, this has been such a blessing to chat with you about this today. We just have about a minute left. Any final thoughts?
No, my final thought would be to any Catholic would be to trust the wisdom of the Church. Individual bishops or priests make mistakes, but when the Church has taught something consistently for 20 centuries, we really believe that Jesus would not allow his Church to mislead people.
Mm-hmm.
And we see over and over again when it comes to marriage and family life, when you live what the Church has always taught faithfully, you're well on the way to a happy marriage. And if you don't, you just sort of open yourself up to all kinds of problems. But to trust that the Lord has guided His church in this regard for 20 centuries, and the culture around us has nothing to offer that's better, and everything that is so many things that lead to many, many different problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Monsignor Dempsey, thank you so much for being with us today on Life
Talk. You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
It's a great blessing to have you here. And friends, we hope you join us on March 8th for our conference. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful week and a wonderful Lent.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.